Welcome, listeners, to Revolt Lap, a podcast in black and white today. We're really excited to have someone that's really had an influence in our lives, not just in leadership, but in a lot of different areas. And his name is Bobby Dodd. And so today from Bobby, you're going to hear different comments like, we have to change how we think. What does help look like? And he's also going to kind of maybe blow your mind a little bit on what scheduling can look like also for you.
Hello, revolutionary audience. We want to thank you all for joining Revolt Lap, a podcast in black and white. Darren and I are excited to have a good friend, a forethinker and a real champion for learners out there. Our friend from Ohio, Bobby Dodd. Bobby, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, fellas. Thank you for allowing me to be on here.
Yeah, good to see you, Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby's got that real laid-back demeanor. But Bobby, why don't you take a second and just tell our Revolt Lab audience a little bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, I can do that. So whether this is about mine, I think it's 21st year in education. So I started off, and so if you hear a little my laid-back demeanor, my accent, I'm from Southeast Ohio, so it's Appalachia, Ohio. I'm born and raised there, pretty proud of it. So, I was raised there, and I got an education. Started teaching different classes, a lot of elective classes. So I taught computer networking, web design, information support systems, engineering classes, things that I was interested in. And, you know, I had a passion for getting other kids interested in, as well as I was the lead learner in the room, but I learned a lot from the kids along the way as well. And so once I got into administration, I went straight from the classroom, from teaching those classes, to be the principal of that little school there in New Lexington. And so once I was there, I went to Gahanna Lincoln High School right outside Columbus. It was a great move for me. I spent 4 years there. Followed up one of our friends, Dwight Carter, there at Gahanna Lincoln. And then this is my second year, going on my third year here at Mason High School down in Mason, Ohio, right about 25 miles northeast of Cincinnati. So school's around 3,600 students. And so I started out with a smaller school in Southeast Ohio, and now I'm at one of the biggest schools in the state.
Anything else happened to you in 2016 that the audience might want to know about,
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be named one of the National Association of Secondary Principals, Digital Principals of the Year. So that's I've been completely blessed to be recognized in that regards, and I can say it's really changed my life, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's cool, and that's how I met Bobby. And for our audience out there, we like to think that our guests are friends that you haven't met yet. And Bobby's one of those people who's genuine, he's forward-thinking, and if you reach out to him with a concern, he'll help you with. And he's one of those go-to people for high school concerns. And that's going to be one of the topics that we hit on in a moment. But before we get to that, Bobby, before we get to that, we like to ask our guest a question, and this is to help them get to know you better on a more personal level. We could blend the personal and professional, but it helps to get to know you a little bit better. So, Bobby, here's a question. Who were you, who are you, and who do you hope to be?
Well, I can tell you the person I used to be was, I tell people this all the time, I didn't start out to be a very good teacher. So when I started out in education, I was not good. I was that guy that's either my way or the highway. And I didn't know much about empathy or compassion at all. So as I've been able to change over the years, some of the biggest things that I believe are the foundation of education are built on relationships and empathy and compassion. That's who I am, and that's everybody knows on my staff. That is what we build great learners from, and that is how we can have a great staff in our building, is by building relationships and focusing on compassion and empathy. So who am I going to be is really a person that's going to keep being that advocate for compassion and empathy, but then also being that person that's going to allow others to do things that they want to try and do things that they want to do, and really make some changes. Not so much, hey, we've always done it this way. It's, well, why don't we try this? And I know what we've done in the past is okay, but maybe if we make some slight changes here and there, we can be even better than we were before.
So Bobby, let's dig into, I mean, your comment was, you felt like empathy, compassion wasn't prominent at first. So what was it that helped you grow that piece? Is there a certain point that you remember in your education history, or was this just certain mentors that you might've had? How did that come around?
I think really is when probably my fourth year of teaching. And so I think when I first got into education, I wasn't sure it was going to be what I did for a long time. So I thought, well, I'm going to teach the way that I was taught. And the way that I was taught was you take a lot of notes and you take tests every Fridays, and then you just keep cycling that, just kind of rinse and repeat. And so after a while, I noticed kids, I taught a lot of hands-on classes, and those were the classes that the kids enjoyed. And then when I would get feedback from them, you know, from me doing PowerPoints and giving out tests, kids hated it. So then also once I got to learn a little bit more about kids, I noticed that once I got to know them on a personal level and got to see things through their eyes, it really started to change my philosophy in education and also teaching. So then when I took that into administration, at least where I started, there weren't a lot of teachers that had a great deal of empathy or compassion for kids. It was, I think, in education, maybe when I was in school in that 80s and 90s, I think it was kind of my way or the highway. And the teachers, they were raised then, they were educated then too. And so I think many teachers and educators have began to teach that way as well. So once I got in administration, I started really leading that way. And then as you both know, you can really start seeing some changes in the people that you work for and the students that you get to work with. And so I think probably my first year, learning more about kids and really starting to see things through their eyes, it started to change me as a person and also as an educator.
Yeah, definitely what I'm hearing is kind of little pieces of gradual release of control to adults, filters down to kids too. Let's talk about change here, because you mentioned that in who you want to be, who you want to become. So talk about that change going to Mason. And you just shared with us before we started the recording, just one thing you wanted to change related to the schedule, which is not easy to do, because when people lock in on a schedule, people like to know, what is that structure? What does it look like? So tell people what you did and what that change process looked like to help people become more comfortable.
Well, we really started off with getting the voice of the staff and the students. So as a leader, you know that you can want things to change as much as you want, but if you don't get your staff and your students and your families, they have to be the ones that are providing the voice and choice for you to make that change. And so that's what we did. So we gathered a lot of data from them. And then we had a team, a scheduling team, which we still have together. And it's made up of staff members, and we have an assistant principal on there as well. And so they would meet on their own with that data, and they started to create different schedules. And then they would get the feedback from the staff on the schedules and from the students on what they thought they would, what would work, what wouldn't work, what positives, negatives. So this isn't something you just do. I think sometimes we, as leaders, we get into wanting to make changes and we don't think through the whole process, how it should be. And we kind of, we rush into things. This definitely wasn't rushed, which made it successful. So we had all the data and we started to make those changes. And then once we had the support of the students and the staff, as I said, the year we rolled it out, this previous year, there were growing pains. but we continued to get feedback from the students and staff each quarter, what was going well, what wasn't. And so I think gathering all that data, getting that voice and choice, and getting building that foundation, as I said earlier, of your staff and your students supporting it, and then really utilizing their ideas to make it possible. You know, I look at it as I didn't really have much to do with it. I just said, hey, let's do this. And then we set up a structure on how we were going to make it happen.
Did you start off with wanting to address, wanted to change the schedule because you were unhappy with the schedule model itself, or were you just looking for, when you were collecting your data, were you just looking for feedback from the staff and students on things that they wanted to change?
So before I got there to Mason High School, there was already discussion about changing it. So it's not like something I just came in and said, hey, we're going to do this. So we had support from the superintendent, which was key as well. And so we looked at what other schools were doing, and we noticed, and the staff knew it, and the students knew that we could make some changes just to make things better in the school. So we have a huge focus on the mental health of our students and trying to do the best we can to really provide a safe learning environment for our students. And you know, sometimes people look at it as, well, you have a recess during the middle of the day and a Wednesday. Well, you know, no one ever said high school students can't have recess. We just always think that because when we grew up, we didn't. And so they said, well, you're wasting learning time. Well, I disagree. I think if students are in a great place mentally, along with your staff, you know, the afternoon on Wednesdays, well, we haven't looked at the data yet, but I doubt things declined for our students. I think they probably got better. So, you know, we looked at the data and we really just thought, you know, how could we build something that we can continue to look at throughout the year and fix along the way, but then also stick with it and mm-hmm. see how things end up at the end of the year.
So what you mentioned the schedule, but what did you do specifically to the schedule, Bob?
Okay, so we, as I said, we had just had traditional 8-period days. They were about 46 minutes in length, I believe, and I think that's about what they were. So we kind of went on a modified block schedule. So some days we have some block periods on certain days, and some days we don't. You don't see your kids every single day, which is something else we changed. And then Wednesdays, as I said, we focused on those, we called them connect times, where there's two different 30-minute sessions. And also what that allowed us to do, and we were able to explain this to the staff as well, as we could use some of those connect times to do different things with, like meet with all the seniors or meet with all the juniors. Traditionally, those would be times that we would take them right out of a classroom and then put them in the auditorium for an hour, and they would miss that instructional time. So we also utilized the connect time that way as well. So I think when you totaled up the amount of learning, we really didn't lose anything because we just started using our time differently. And as I said, when we start talking about change, I think sometimes as leaders, we get caught up in, well, we've always done it this way, instead of, well, you know, just because we changed the format a little bit, we'll still get the same bang for the buck as we have before, but it is okay to change.
A little bit deeper for us on how taking a different approach and rethinking the schedule has allowed you to support social emotional learning needs of your high schoolers.
So we, as you said, we had that traditional schedule, and so in a district such as Mason, it's very high achieving. Many students are doing everything they possibly can in order to excel academically. And then on top of that, you know, they're involved in clubs and sports and organizations after school where, you know, their time is really taken and there's not much left. And so it helps me think a little bit about, you know, we've even looked at this year on homework and really what it means and had our staff really focus on it with our students and say, you know, what the importance of homework. So we're looking at all angles of it. So getting back to the schedule portion of it is that time during the day that the kids knew that what that time was. And what we tried to, and we're still working on this, is what we try to rework with our staff is it's okay to not always be pushing the gas, pushing the accelerator. It's good to pump the brakes sometimes. And so instead of always making, hey, let's put study sessions in there during this connect time, why don't we think of, hey, it's okay if kids are at risk to maybe give them some help, but what does the help look like during that time? How are you helping the students? How are you working with them? And maybe not having them take two sessions of that, but maybe take one session of that, and then maybe something else that they enjoy. So it was little things like that that when we spoke about it with our families and with our students, it was, hey, we want our kids to break a little bit during the day, because we know, after school, there's not much of a break at all. They just keep going and going. So I think we really tried to focus on that. And then what that really does is it starts changing your culture. And so if your culture of the building has always been, go, 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 we're saying, hey, why don't we take a break a little bit? And then we try to work that into our teaching and with our educators and with our students and families of, hey, you're going to be successful in life. So I know a lot of things that you do at school, you do it very well, but it's okay to, not get that perfect score in the ACT. It's okay to maybe pull back on taking some AP classes and maybe look at an internship. So little things like changing the schedule, I always look at that residual effect it can have down the road. And we're starting to see that even during this first year.
Well, I think probably one benefit you're seeing is kids are understanding that piece of flexibility, different soft skills. I want to go to probably where my mind went right away when you talk about staff and helping them understand what's going on. We have done something similar at South Middle called I Choose. And I'm guessing, do some of your staff create these offerings for kids?
Yeah, they do. So we tried to have the staff say, what are you passionate about? What would you love to be able to share with students? So we're blessed again to have a park right next to our building. I mean, right next to it, right across the parking lot. So I mean, we have a fishing club, and so when the weather allows, one of the teachers takes his students over and they fish. And so we have different sports, maybe it's soccer, different things like that, if you're passionate about it, create the environment and then let the kids come in. So we even have a fantasy football group. So there's a session fantasy football. There's a staff member that's passionate about it. Kids sign up for it. And usually those ones that you see that the kids know the teachers are passionate about, they fill up very quickly. So yeah, we had the staff take the lead on that, but we wanted to really stress to them, let the kids learn a little bit more about you and try to find things that you're passionate about to share with the students.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can about imagine the level of relationship had to just increase too. Not just when they see the passion, but just being able to relate to kids at with a different content area, so to speak. What about the case, Bobby, where a staff person might say, well, this is like another prep period, because I have to create something. Did you have that come up, and how did you address it if you did?
Well, I think the one thing we tried to stress was don't feel a need to create something. So there weren't lesson plans turned in, there weren't assessments turned in, there weren't walkthroughs done during this time. We looked at what the staff wanted to offer, and then we asked them if they needed any space or if we could help them with resources. But other than that, we tried to let them, the word fun sometimes isn't involved in high school. And so we tried to say, hey, make this a fun time. I'll tell you what else we did too. And I just thought about it is we even extended this to our professional development days. So we have our staff for professional development for 3 hours, certain portions of the year. We would always take the last half hour of that 3 hours and say, hey, we're going to do connect time for the staff. So the staff could go and create their own sessions and other staff members would sign up. And so as you can imagine, that was a big hit for us during the year.
So what were some of those sessions?
Well, yeah, some of them, one of them I do remember was deer hunting. So we had a session on deer hunting. And so there were some YouTube videos shown. And then one of the staff members would come in and cook different types of deer meat. And the group would come in and they would cook venison and talk about it. There's yoga sessions, as you can imagine. There's sessions on just sitting and having conversations about nature. They were running groups, so we had all these groups come up, and again, they were just things that interested teachers, and they knew there's interested other staff members, and we had staff sign up, and it was a good thing.
So, as a maybe a curriculum director, would there be a curriculum director out there that would look at this and say, you know what, they're on contract and they're supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z. How do you overcome those things? And again, I'm speaking from, there are a majority of the schools out there are still very traditional, and that's the frame of mind that they have to this. So what do you say?
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because at Mason City Schools, we build on three rocks. That's what we call them. Our three rocks are inclusive excellence, personalized learning, and then culture. And so if somebody would come and ask me, well, now what is this 30 minutes used for? Well, if you don't talk about building culture, there's nothing else better than building culture with your staff and getting together and learning more about each other. And again, I talk about the mental health aspect. Not only are we concerned about our students, but we also want that aspect with our staff as well and take care of them. And so our culture is really built on events plus response equals outcome. It's a focus three from Tim Kite. And so when we talk about that, we say, well, our culture, you know, we provide our staff with these opportunities to grow together and build relationships with each other. We believe that's a huge part of culture, and it's only going to make their teaching stronger. So that's what I would share with the curriculum director, at least on our end, because we're just following what our district goals are.
Yeah. Hey, let's expand that question, that thinking, and take and hit home to where one of your influence areas, Bobby, because we know you do a lot of leadership coaching, and leadership development and growth is one of your focus areas. So Bobby, you're talking to a first year principal or a second year principal, or you're talking to a principal who's in a very traditional school system. You know, you said you were blessed that Mason was more progressive, but somebody is in a traditional setting. It's talking to principals or school leaders. How about that? Or a teacher who sees a need but wants to start a conversation with the principal. How do they start?
Okay. Well, I think the first thing, and I talked about this earlier, is getting that feedback and that data. So I think the number one thing you have to do is really, what do the students want? What do the rest of your staff think? That you have to start there, because if you're going to go into a meeting with, you know, as you're a first year principal meeting with your superintendent, if you're a teacher meeting with a principal, you have to have some data. You have to have some facts. What we also like to do is look what other people are doing, look what other schools are doing. So I would think if I'm going to approach my superintendent about that, I would say, well, you know, here's what some other schools are doing, because what you usually find out is the other schools are doing things differently, and you may be the person that's trailing. And so as a superintendent, I would probably look at that and say, well, this school's doing this. What are their results? So again, I, as a first year principal or as a teacher wanting to talk to a principal, I would get that school's data as much as I could and say, well, this is what it's done for them. So, you know, that goes along with building up your PLN and reaching out and talking with other leaders and other teachers and other districts and saying, what benefits have you seen? What are some opportunities for growth? So that's where you have to start, because you can't go into a meeting with a superintendent or with a principal and just say, I think we ought to change the schedule, because the next question you're going to get is why. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have something behind your why. So I think those are if you're asking me what the first steps are, I really think is that getting the voice of others and then really seeing what others are doing in order to help you get your conversation started.
Hey, Bobby, final question we have for you before you kind of tell people how to connect with you. But in your opinion, where does a revolution need to take place today in education?
Well, that's kind of that's a loaded question a little bit, but I think the revolution needs to start with our mindset. We have to be able to realize that education is not the same as it was when we were growing up. The You know, I type this in chats a lot, is that industrial revolution mindset of education, it's over with. It's not there. I mean, we're not, you know, in the lines manufacturing anymore. We have to change our mindset to believe that our kids can do a lot of things. We have a lot of brilliant kids out there, and same with our staff members. And so we have to just let the reins go a little bit. So the revolution definitely has to start with the mindset and really changing what education is, but we have to change how we think as leaders and educators in order to make that revolution start.
Hey, appreciate you, brother. That's we knew this was going to be a great talk. You certainly gave us some good thinking points and talking points for today. And we always want to help others start the revolution that their learners need in their school. Bobby, would you please share with our audience how they can get in touch with you if just in the future?
Sure, I would say probably Twitter is the best way. So my handle is @Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, and then it's double underscores. Somebody else took just Bobby Dodd out there. I couldn't figure out who that was, but it's double underscores then Dodd. So I think that's probably the best way. So connect with me and I'll follow you, and then we can DM back and forth.
Good to go. So we're going to start a mission to get Bobby one underscore Dodd for our good friend here.
Yeah, I had to go double there.
So listen, Bobby, again, we appreciate you being here today. Our revolutionary audience, please connect with Bobby. Learn some of the great things that he's doing at his school. Significant change absolutely can occur. It needs to occur because our learners deserve it. Have a great day. Thank you for taking time to listen. And we encourage you to listen, share, and subscribe.
All right. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate everything you have.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks for listening to our great talk with Bobby today. He's that innovator that helps you rethink your role and where you are in your journey to be the educator your learners need, and how your school can help serve your learners on another level. We ask that you please continue to join us on our journey to start revolutions in our different schools and learning environments. Use our hashtag RevoltLab to help connect with other learners. And please share our podcast with your friends. We want to be a part of your learning change.